What's up, Dan?
Eric. Hey, look, last time we talked about processes and goals and vision and mayhem and Groundhog Day, right? It's something that saves me and anybody who uses this a lot of headache and a lot of confusion between me and employees is something that I call the mastery ladder.
Yes, I love it.
I find in jobs that I've had in the past where I've worked for somebody else, you're hired at a dollar amount and you work. You work until you feel you're worth more money, and then you have to go to the boss and ask for a pay rate increase.
Yeah.
And as speaking from somebody who has been an employee in the past, I felt so nervous going in front of my boss and justifying why I need more money. Mm-hmm. It could be the birth of two more kids. I had to justify it. You know, that I have to spend more. Things are more expensive. And it's a shitty way of doing business. That I wasn't recognized as being better at my job or faster or more efficient or putting in longer hours and being rewarded for what I became. And through life, because I wasn't born knowing all these things, I heard about this thing called the mastery ladder. Mm-hmm. And what my son Sean did is create a thing called the mastery ladder, starting off at different levels. And what that is like, everybody starts at a title called a team leader. And that's bracketed dollar amounts. That comes in, you know, it may start at $16 an hour, whatever the day rate would be for a person of that skill level. And it identifies it on the mastery ladder that the education, meaning you have to be able to work manual labor, basic tool knowledge, complete the university, which is Aquascape for us. Skills are good work ethics, clean appearance, personable, basic understanding of job, show personal professional growth, be a team player, and be an asset to the team. The tools required is a driver's license and a DOT medical card. These are the basics to walk in the door. You have to have this to do this. You have to master this to move it to the next level. And in my case would be the apprentice. Where's a pay rate jump from like 18 to 24? It happens to be. And these things are going to change because I'm always changing things. And it has a higher education, more skills, more tools that are needed. People see this when I interview them. And if you're watching on camera, it looks like this. If we had it on video, but when I'm interviewing a person, a video interview before I meet them, I hold this up to my screen so they know what it looks like. This is what you need to do, and this is what we start at, and this is how you get to that next level. So people who work with us, for us as a team, know what each other are making within $5 because they know the level.
It's huge. Takes a lot of pressure off. Takes a lot of making up stories in their heads when they're on working with a crew member. It's like, well, Johnny's not pulling his weight or whatever. It's like, it takes that away when everybody knows what everybody makes. It's very clear.
And you know, if people say, well, I think I'm worth more money. Okay, cool. Let's pull up the mastery ladder. Mm-hmm. And look at this. You tell me where you are as far as education, skills, and tools. Do you have that to make to that? Do you do this? Do you job cost? Do you problem solve? Do you spec out jobs? Do you track inventory? Do you fill out job forms? Do you bid jobs? That's what a department manager is. You want to be a field supervisor? Yeah, that's a salary position, and it all these things go with it. And you know, the dollar amount I mentioned may be different for your area or your needs or your specific field. That's what I do. It doesn't mean that you should do that or pay that much or pay that little or whatever it is. But it's important for people to know that they don't have to justify needing to make more money. I want everybody, and you do too, to buy your company someday. It's like,
that's the ultimate goal.
That's the goal. Okay.
Yeah.
How do they get there? If I do not put steps so they know where they want to go. And there may be that guy, and we all have them who work for us, that just want to show up to work, you know, nail some boards together, dig some holes, put a roof on, sell, but do nothing more. Just come to work, do their hours, and punch out. And that's okay.
That's great.
That's great. That's what they know what they want. They know what seat on the bus they're on. But for people who know they want to be better than what they are, it's available to them.
It's so clear. It's so clear. Funny. Matt just got a dollar raise because he reached that rung of the ladder mm-hmm. for that dollar raise. And it was funny how it happened because all he had to do is his last little checkoff was to be proficient in backing up a trailer.
Oh boy.
And we take it to the next level. It's not just backing up a trailer because it's easy. It's backing up a trailer in a difficult situation and you've mastered it. Because a lot of people can back a trailer. But can you back a trailer on that driveway that's like a I don't know what angle this is. You know, it's not 90.
It's like a jackknife.
A little jackknife. Like, can you pull that off? You know, and you got the, not only that, you have the concrete little barriers on the driveway. So you like have no room for error and you're on a busy street. Can you do that? Cause that's mastery. So here, backing into our parking area, I have four trucks back here. And as long as they all back in correctly, it's fine. Now, if one truck is off a little bit, you have to adjust. And it's not a straight shot either, because the way the fence opens up, it's shorter on one side or longer on one side. So you don't have a straight shot. So what I did for fun, and I realized if, say, Travis got back first and he didn't get the truck far to the left enough, it's hard for Matt to. So I painted out a big, long area. Mm-hmm. Basically, I just did, and I painted in blue because it's just fun for handicap parking. For him, just messing with it. And it's all blue, and I painted out where he needed to park. And that day he came back, and I joke and call him Scott. We just have fun names. And it's he shaved up and cleaned up one day, and it just, you know, he had that fresh shave, that fresh haircut, and we're talking about Top Gun, and I just felt like calling him Scott for some reason. So now he's Scott. And when he got back, I even spray painted Scott at the top of it. And man, he pulled right in there, and it was even on every side, and he just like laid it right in there, and it was perfect. Now, mind you, he had a clear objective and a clear vision on where he should park now. And he nailed it. It wasn't vague. It wasn't nebulous. It wasn't, am I lined up? Because you just got a big parking area. Mm. And it's not, we don't have parking spaces. And when he got out and he saw Scott, he laughed. And I said, you have completed the rung on that mastery ladder of parking. So I will let payroll know. I'll let Elizabeth inside that you get your dollar bump right now. Yeah. And it was just fun. But how clear is that?
Yeah, that's, you know, and the guys who back up trailers all the time, it's not a big deal. But somebody who's new at it, or if you're blowing air horns in their face when they're trying to do it and people beeping, it's like, that's wicked stressful. I mean, you could give, honestly, some situations I'm in, Derek, you could give me like a full tank of gas and I wouldn't be able to figure it out.
But that was one of those things, to your point, is, so I know where you're at. So you're having to clean some things up, you're having to dial some things in, and I'm constantly editing my mastery ladder. So just like going, it's never finished because we'll realize, okay, let's detail this out a little more. So yes, clean appearance. I think those make sense. They should just know that. Mm. So that's kind of like in the first section. But as it gets more detailed, it's to run an excavator efficiently. Well, what does that mean exactly? What mode are you running in, standard? Are you running in ISO? And can you load it on a trailer? Can you turn it without spinning the tracks or dragging the tracks? Can you use the blade properly? Do you know how to strap the bucket correctly for rocks? So we're getting more detailed so that we can go over that. So when we go through a review, and I put it on them. So this is the beauty of Onus, is I go, hey, just so you know, I'm not going to follow up on you on when you need a raise. That is up to you. And when you feel ready, come to me. And we'll evaluate it. I don't want to come to you and blindside you and make you feel stressed about it. I want you to come to me when you got it on point. And we were talking about the backing up, and I acknowledged it and Travis acknowledged. So we talked about it beforehand. So that was kind of the fun celebration. Let me mark this out for you, man. Here's a big landing strip. Can you get it in here? And of course, better yet, it wasn't the 20-foot trailer with the 350. It was a 250 with the 12-foot trailer, which, as you know, the shorter the trailers, the harder they are to back up. So, and it's a long bed. So it's just like a little tweak here and there, and he's all over the place. So we just keep getting more detailed. And so what have I done too? I let them help me with it. What do you guys think? You know, so if you want to get to $30 an hour, are we missing anything? Let's not just say it's 3 points and you get $30 an hour. Let's make this right, because it's good for everybody.
Check this out. I want to tell you about an opportunity to grow the shit out of your business to 8 figures and beyond if you so desire. In October, I'm keynoting at the Contractor Summit in Jacksonville, Florida, and I want to invite you to join me and other kick-ass contractors as we guide you to automate your systems to give you more freedom and profits in your business. Who can use a little bit of that, right? Raise your damn hands. Or what about building a world-class team that operates without you? What kind of freedom would that give you? And bandwidth would that create in your head so that you could work on bigger things in the business and fulfill your bigger vision? We're also gonna dig into things like how to sell larger projects that don't put you in the poorhouse. My God, the number of contractors that take on a big job and end up going out of business because of that big job is staggering. There's far too many people that don't know how to make money on a big project. So guys, I want to invite you to join me, hit the link, go to thecontractorfight.com/Florida-summit, and let's get better together. I'm out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because you know what, Derek, is you're asking them a question. What do you need to do to get to that next level? But in their mind, and be mine too, if I was sitting in that seat, is saying, "This somebody's going to be coming up behind me and wants to sit where I in my seat. What do they need to do to get here to earn the spot that I'm in?" And it makes the system work better. It totally does. You know, at the top of the mastery ladder, I'm looking at it says, "You determine your pay and position."
Yeah,
it's like, and then you're asking them to come to you. You know, when they feel that they've met that point. We provide unlimited opportunities for growth and will help you reach the highest potential. Do you pay for your guys to have their training?
Of course.
Why wouldn't you, right? Hoisting license in Massachusetts, we have to have a hoisting license. You have to. Do I send them to the class? Yeah, I send them to the class. Do I pay for the test? Why wouldn't I?
Any of it. It's anything they do that benefits the company, they get paid for. Without question.
I wish I had this growing up.
Oh, sure.
I hated, you know, because you build yourself up. I remember talking to my wife and saying, you know, I got to ask for a raise today. I got to talk to my boss. And I come home and did you do it? No, I just wasn't right. It's like, what do you mean it wasn't right? You know, she was, well, you know, I just he was mad. He was in a bad mood or I screwed something up. So I don't want to ask him for it. And I, you know, you're laughing, but that's true. We screw things up and we devaluate Absolutely. Ourselves.
I remember when I worked at a place called Farmore, I was 16 or 17 years old. And mind you, I'm making $3 an hour. And they were calling everybody because the store had not opened up yet. So we started, you know, stocking the store, building the store, whatever. The store was built. We were just putting the things in, the food, the whatever. Farmore was like a big Aldi's or something, like a not quite full-blown grocery store, but that a bigger version of Dollar General store.
Okay.
And Farmore for far less was the slogan. And I remember, and I was a shit employee. I was. And I remember the guy that I worked with, his name was Johnny. Johnny was a cool guy. He always had that bandana in his back pocket. He had the cool Levi jeans, had the cool Chuck Taylors, and it's the long hair. He just looked like a cool, I just wanted to be Johnny. And I remember they were calling everybody up to go to the office. And that was the day they were giving everybody raises. Mm. And I was making $4 an hour. I was making $4 an hour and I got $4.25. And I asked Johnny, I was like, "What'd you get, man?" And Johnny was forthcoming. He said, "I got $5." Mm. And I was so pissed. I was doing the same job as Johnny, I thought. And I got a quarter and he got $5. He got a 75 cent or a dollar raise. But I didn't know why. It would have been nice back then to go, "Hey, if you face all the shelves and you get all this put up and you show up in a timely manner and you get it done in a set amount of time, this is the amount of money that's going to work." I would have got that dollar too. I know what I was doing. I was 17 years old, just, you know, whatever, hanging out with Johnny. So I hear you on if it would have been clear, but that's kind of the topic of this. And anything we do in our company is don't make it vague and nebulous. Make it clear. Whatever it is, make it clear.
There's no reason not to have this. There's none. Yeah. And you know, you could say, "Hey, Derek, you're a one-man band and you want to have one employee."
Sure.
You should have it.
Same thing. So a lot of people are going to want to see a mastery ladder. They're going to want to take a shortcut and borrow someone else's. Don't. Make it your own and just start. Whatever your team member's doing, whatever you're doing, just start writing it out. You got to take time to work on the business, not just in the business. And how Tim's, you didn't see the visual. Tim actually has visuals of ladders and you can see how you can climb your way up. Make it fun. Don't make it. So I had a secondary mastery ladder made by a past office assistant and it was the most unfun. So formal. It was just like, and I'm like, no, like this reads like a blog. This doesn't read like the mastery ladder that I want. We're contractors. Let's make this clean and simple and show what that is and spell it out. It doesn't have to be 32 pages. It's too much.
No, we don't
need
that.
You can have little bullet points back in a trailer. What does back in a trailer mean?
You know, there's one part on here. It says, have a good eye for what looks good. How vague is that?
I have no idea what that means.
That's right. Have a good eye for know what looks good.
I mean, you know.
It's like, well, somebody wants to ask me, what does look good? And so, you know, when we go on those nature hikes, that's what we want to do. You know what it looks Spell good. It. You know what looks Spell good. It. Right. Spell ask your
make a talking point.
Totally. And then you can ask your peers, hey guys, the stuff we've been building, does it look natural? Does it look good? I need to know. I got to go up for a review and I want to know if my stuff looks good. Yeah. What would make it better?
And here's the thing. Look good could be subjective on a waterfall. For me, I'm not so concerned what the waterfall looks like as long as you feel proud that you built it and the customer signs off on it. Do I look at certain waterfalls and I'm not okay with it? But then I also go, I'm not building the waterfall. So I shouldn't pass judgment.
I love it. I love it. That's brilliant what you just said that, Derek. It's like, and then, you know, as a business person, you want to get paid, you want to do a good job, you want to make sure the person's happy, and then that's about it. And of course, your employees are happy and everybody makes money. Being a judgment on what looks good, that's just an opinion. If somebody says, I need to see a waterfall in my yard that looks like a stream that I saw on the Kangamangas Highway in New Hampshire, it's like, well, wait a minute. That's exactly, can you do that? If you could do that, and that's what they're asking for, then that's what looks good.
It's not subjective anymore.
No.
Let's talk about, you know, let's wrap this one up. Let's talk about some standards and how that works within the company and the standards of the employees and what's expected. And what I really want to talk about is having unrealistic standards and too high of expectations for your team.
Yeah. Let's jump to the next one on that one, because that's a big topic.
Yep.
All right.
Awesome.
With that,
thanks, Tim.
We're out, guys. See you next week.